Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this is Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
Don't forget to like us on our Facebook page, Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
Or tweet at us at Broadway Curtain. Or follow our pretty faces on Instagram at Broadway Curtain Podcast. We are very excited because today is our first Tony Awards show. Yay! Congratulations, Kevin.
Yeah,
we made it to the Tony Awards season. But we are very excited. We're going to discuss the nominations.
Yeah.
And we have a very special guest with us today. I'd like to introduce our audience to Brian Hobgood. Say hi, Brian.
Hi, guys.
Brian is a theater connoisseur.
Ooh, I like that.
Brian, I know, it's a fancy French word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brian is a theater lover. Brian has seen just about everything there is to see this season. The day before the Tony nominees come out, actually predicts all the categories and has an amazing track record.
Oh.
What got you into the theater, first of all? That's my first question for
sure,
you.
Sure, sure. Well, okay, so, I mean, I grew up doing theater. My mom was a theater major in college, so she put me in dance classes and theater stuff when I was really young, as was my sister, and did theater all through high school and college. I danced all through high school and college and choreographed shows in college and then auditioned actually when I graduated for a few things before I was like, yep, that's not going to happen for me. So moved on to a different life.
Commendable in itself, you know?
We know that feeling.
Now I am a teacher. I run SAT prep courses for high school kids getting ready for college.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, with my my degree in chemical engineering and my minor in musical theater, people like to...
Oh, that's a great
joke about left brain, right brain, Brian.
Yeah, I'll say.
So Brian has seen just about everything, and by my count, I hope I'm right on this, this season, first of all, this was an amazing season.
Incredible season.
Strong season, yeah.
Can we just talk about what an amazing season this is?
Yeah.
I mean, there should be an award for anything that participated this season. Well, not everything.
You get a medal.
You get a medal. Because this season has been really incredible. And considering what the Oscars are going through with, you know, the lack of diversity in the nominations, if you look at the nominees this year, Broadway always leads the way in changing the way things should be done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But by my count, we had 11 new musicals this season. That's what I came up with.
Yeah,
11 new musicals, 7 new plays, and 17 revivals.
That's incredible.
This is incredible.
Yeah.
But 11 new musicals.
That's unheard of. That's crazy.
And let's talk about the diversity. Allegiance, On Your Feet, Shuffle Along, Hamilton, Fiddler on the Roof, which I would consider to also have diversity in it as well.
Oh, yeah, Color Purple.
The Color Purple.
And Spring Awakening.
Spring Awakening. Oh, my God. I totally forgot about
diversity,
which,
obviously, but...
which hasn't really been seen on Broadway in a long time. I mean, the last time was Big River.
Big River.
And Waitress, which had an all-female
creative team.
And Eclipsed.
And Eclipsed as well.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. So no matter
and
what
Hamilton, happened, I mean, like,
Hamilton,
throw that,
the
I mean, like, obviously,
that's
Hamilton.
Like... This has been a wonderful, wonderful season. So we'll start with that.
Marvel.
And so what we're going to do is this. We have the Tony nominations ahead of us. Not the winners. We couldn't get those from the accounting firm of Lutz & Carr.
Nice.
But we tried desperately. And we're going to just talk about what we think might be winning. So we're going to start Best Orchestrations. Our nominees are...
I love this category.
I love this category, mm-hmm. too. And please, if you haven't listened to our interview yet with Don Pippin, please do so, because Don has a lot of strong opinions about orchestrations. Our nominees for orchestrations this year are Bright Star, She Loves Me, Hamilton, and Shuffle Along. So I'm going to send it over to Brian first. Brian, who do you think is going to take away Best Orchestrations?
Well, what's so interesting... Well, I think it's going to be Hamilton because of the juggernaut, but this
And I'm going to say Alex Lacamoire, just the name, because I mean, it's good to know who these names are.
Alex is great. I mean, he did the Heights. He's done a lot of... He works with Lin-Manuel all the time. I think his orchestrations are good, and I think that, you know, not undeserving of a win, but this category is actually one of my toughest as far as who deserves it. I mean, Shuffle Along was nominated, but I am flabbergasted that School of Rock didn't get in this category.
Absolutely.
The kids on stage playing those instruments and those orchestrations being what they are for those kids.
Right.
I think Andrew Lloyd Webber does an amazing job. That just tells you how strong a category it is this year that they didn't get in.
I think it's going to go to Hamilton too, but my feeling is I would love for Bright Star to win,
right,
because I think the texture on the show is amazing. Now, if you're listening and you haven't seen these shows, do not worry. Go on to iTunes, because most of them will be available by the time this podcast comes out, and listen to them. But Kevin was absolutely right. Eric Smoen did Bright Star. Larry Hochman did She Loves Me. Alex Lacamoire did Hamilton, and Daryl Waters did Shuffle Along. Kevin, Best Orchestrations.
I'm a huge fan of Larry Hochman, and we should get him on the show, actually.
Absolutely.
But his work is, you know, he did Book of Mormon. His palette is across the board. So I'm sure that I haven't actually heard She Loves Me and seen it yet. So that's confession.
No,
but
fantastic.
It's gorgeous.
I love the work that Alex Lacamoire did, so I know it's going to go to him most likely. But Daryl Waters is incredible, and I'm sure the Shuffle Along time period to capture that style and all of that. It's hard to like put your finger on one, because you have such four different, complete different styles.
And I don't know, and I wish I knew the answer. I'm assuming a lot of the stuff that Daryl Waters did must have been a lot of archival work as well, trying to piece together this show.
Yeah, but I don't think there was a lot there. But I would love to know how much was.
So that's tough as well. Best choreography. Well, first of all, I'm upset I did not get a nomination this year.
Rob, I love your torsiotes, too.
Thank you. My one-man show, Rob, We Hardly Knew Ye, which is at the Cherry Lane.
Exclamation mark.
Exclamation point is in great shape. Choreography, Andy Blankenbuehler for Hamilton, Savion Glover for Shuffle Along, Hafish Schechter for Fiddler on the Roof, Randy Skinner at Dames at Sea, and Sergio Trujillo for On Your Feet, the story of Emilio and Gloria Estefan. So, Kevin.
I feel like I'm going to just say it now. The caveat for every category is going to be like, well, Hamilton probably is going to.
Right. Yep.
But then I'm just going to like let that be. I think Savion Glover's work is the most talked about this season. We hear a lot about Shuffle Along, and I feel like all the unicorns that are in that show, him included, that he excites me. I remember one of my first shows I ever saw was Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk.
Oh.
Years ago. And I also have to say Sergio, that was like one of the only nominations for that show.
I believe it was the only nomination for the show.
And I think that says something about the work of the show that his work is nominated there. So I think it's a very strong category.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's Sergio's first nomination.
Oh my gosh.
Which he's done so much work on Broadway over the years.
Amen.
You know, he was choreographed Memphis, which, you know, obviously won a lot of Tonys that year, but he was not nominated. I think he's missed a nomination almost every single time. And actually, he was my guest to be left out again this year just because of the nominees and who they would be. But Spencer Lyft for Spring Awakening got left out, and I think he took that spot.
Oh.
Spencer had been nominated for all of the lead-up awards, Drama Desk, Outer Critics, and all that stuff. So that choreography was great as well. Of course, these shows that close in the fall, they're at a slight disadvantage, unfortunately.
Truth.
I agree with Kevin. I think that Shuffle Along is astounding choreography. Savion Glover's choreography is jaw-dropping in that show. I think Andy Blankenbuehler will win for Hamilton. Not unfortunately, it's great choreography, but Savion Glover's work is just otherworldly. I screamed for joy when Hofa Schechter was nominated for Fiddler on the Roof. I think that choreography is phenomenal. I was so glad. Rob, you and I saw Dames at Sea together.
Yes, Brian.
And I'm so glad Randy Skinner is nominated for that.
I was a little surprised.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
No.
I was expecting that to go to Spencer Lynn.
Really?
That's what I was expecting. I was expecting that it wouldn't be for Dames at Sea. But because I have to admit, Spencer Liv's choreography is incredible. Mm-hmm. And you also have to think about what he was going through, because it's a lot of people that are not primarily dancers.
Right.
So I'm surprised that Randy Skinner got one. But good for Randy Skinner, yeah, because it was a delightful, delightful evening in the theater. Now, best direction of a musical, we have Michael Arden for Spring Awakening.
Well done.
Well done, Michael Arden. Absolutely. John Doyle for The Color Purple.
Yep.
Scott Ellis for She Loves Me. Thomas Kail for Hamilton. And George C. Wolfe for Shuffle Along. You know what?
Mr. Director.
Mr. Director, because of my category. Obviously, I think it's going to be Thomas Kail. Mm-hmm. For Hamilton. If not Thomas Kail, Michael Arden.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow. I would go for Michael Arden.
A lot of buzz when that, you know, for him.
Yeah, I saw it in L.A., and Michael and I were both nominated for Ovation Awards out in Los Angeles, because I did the regional premiere of Memphis, mm-hmm, and he did Spring Awakening, and I saw Spring Awakening, and I'm like, this should win. Then, of course, he did win, and I'm like, God damn it!
He has my award.
But now he got nominated for a Tony Award too. So,
well, I'm on his heels. Yeah, I'm on his heels. We're going to bring that production to Memphis, to Broadway, and just you wait. No, but honestly, Thomas Kail's work is so inventive and it's so creative, and it's such a beautiful way of telling that particular story. But Michael Arden, definitely. I mean, all of these directors on this list. Scott Ellis, the tone, getting that tone perfect on She Loves Me. Mm. That's true.
It's perfect fluff, and I love it.
I mean, this is a wonderful year for directors. Mm-hmm. Wonderful year. What about you, Brian? What do you think?
So for me, I mean, again, all of these directors, I think, did great jobs. And by the way, some shout outs to people who didn't get nominated. Bart Scher for Fiddler on the Roof. It's probably the best Fiddler on the Roof I've ever seen. I'm not a huge fan of the show, and I think it's a great production. Yeah. Rupert Gould for American Psycho. I mean, again, not a huge fan of the show, but I think the direction is very interesting. It's completely something we've not seen before.
I love his direction. Yeah. I loved it there. I loved it on Enron. I know nobody else liked Enron.
Well, Enron, I don't love the play, but the direction was great.
I think his direction is wonderful and very inventive.
His Macbeth was phenomenal as well.
Did not see that.
Oh, one of my favorite things I've ever seen.
Is that with Patrick Stewart?
Patrick Stewart and Kate Fleetwood.
Is that on video or online?
They made a movie of it.
Okay.
It's not filmed.
Got it.
But then he also directed King Charles III this season, which phenomenal.
So he's nominated for Best Direction. Oh, he's not.
He's not. So just a shout out for him. I mean, direction was strong this year in musicals. For me, obviously, I think Tommy Kail's going to win, and I think his work is phenomenal. I liked Michael Arden's work in Spring Awakening, though to me, the best director in this category by far is John Doyle for The Color Purple. I left that production sobbing. Mm. I thought what he did with that show, which is a problematic show, he made you focus in on Celie. It's Celie's story. And of course, Cynthia Erivo has a lot to do with that as well. But you leave that show going, oh my gosh, how come I hated this show so much the first time back in 2006? And I am in love with it right now. It's completely revamped.
I second all of what you've all said, but I must give I'm so taken by George Wolfe a lot, because in creating this musical from scratch, even though it's based on, you know, the early version of Shuffle Along. But I think as a director, he's inventive, and I've always loved his work. Carol Interchange is one of my favorite musicals ever.
Yeah.
And I think the what he can do to develop pieces is extra special, and I think that being a director is part that, you know, developing a theater piece from scratch, you know. And yet, what John Doyle did with Color Purple, I mean, it's... it's jaw-dropping, truly.
Just absolutely.
Yeah, incredible. And by the way, with George C. Wolfe, I mean, what he was able to do from preview time to opening night, I mean, that's what previews were about.
Right.
You know, that's it. And they took that show from 3 hours and 30 minutes, I think it was, the first preview, down to 2 hours and 45 minutes, and a show that the critics really loved. So,
that's incredible.
I mean, props to him for that. That's phenomenal.
Best lighting design of a musical, Howell Binkley for Hamilton, Jules Fisher and Peggy Eisenhower for Shuffle Along, Ben Stanton for Spring Away, Awakening, and Justin Townsend for American Psycho. Kevin.
I love the design categories, because sometimes when you're watching a show, I don't often think to myself, oh gosh, this lighting is so amazing. But sometimes you do, and I feel like that's always a sign. I think that American Psycho has some really strong design elements to it. I think that Jules Fisher and Peggy Eisenhower, who we should have on in our podcast.
Absolutely.
Because talk about legendary lighting designers and a team that has been together for years and years and years and years. And they're their work and the breadth of their work is like insane. I'm sure it's probably going to go to Hamilton, mm-hmm. but I love seeing The Spring Awakening, Ben Stanton nominated here as well. I think that's really special. But I'm gonna go with Howell Binkley.
I'm throwing my money behind Justin Townsend on American Psycho. I was very impressed with their lighting design. Yeah. That's where I'm going, bud. And what about you, Brian?
Well, I think it's between American Psycho and Hamilton. For me, the way these awards tend to go is unless there's a really show-stopping moment, and I know, Kevin, you were saying that you don't always think about those things while you're watching the show, and I agree. I try not to, you know, say like, oh my God, the lighting is so amazing, and I'm not paying attention to the actor on stage. But if there is one of those moments that like really you notice, then those awards tend to go to a show that's not necessarily the best musical.
Truth.
But if there isn't that moment, a lot of times the best musical winner just takes that. So Hamilton might take this award just because there's one of those wow moments. For me, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little sad that Jane Cox wasn't nominated for Color Purple because I think that lighting is stunning. But for me, it's between American Psycho and Hamilton. I think Hamilton will probably take it.
Best costume design of a musical. Greg Barnes, the wonderful Greg Barnes for Tuck Everlasting. Jeff Mahashi for She Lo- You know who I sound like? Do you ever see Elizabeth Taylor at award shows?
Yes.
And she's like, she can't pronounce anybody's name.
Because she's wasted.
She's wasted and she giggles. That's what I feel like
right
now.
Are you wasted, Rob?
I'm not wasted. I'm just channeling my Elizabeth Taylor. Jeff Mahashi, she loves me. Oh my God, I can't read him. That was my Elizabeth Taylor at an awards ceremony.
Thank you.
Anne Roth, the incredible Anne Roth for Shuffle Along, and Paul Tazewell for Hamilton. So those are our nominees for Best Costume Design of a Musical, Tuck Everlasting, She Loves Me, Shuffle Along, and Hamilton.
Wow.
I'm putting my money on Hamilton.
Yeah,
I think it was an inventive way of using the costumes, embracing the period, and also making sure that the world that Tommy Kail and Andy Blankenbuehler had created was justified.
Totally.
So that's where I'm going. I'm going for Paul. I think he deserves it.
Also, by the way, shout out to Jane Greenwood, who was not nominated for Bright Star.
Those Agreed.
Costumes, glorious. And she's a legend, too.
She's a major
legend.
Oh,
those costumes
finally got her,
amazing.
Her Lifetime Achievement, Tony. I'm a little surprised that the Tuck Everlasting costumes got in, to be perfectly honest.
Surprised.
Yeah, over Bright Star. Those costumes, to me, were distracting and weird. But as much as I love Greg Barnes, and he does all of this work with Casey Nicola, and I think that he does great work. I'm just a little surprised that they got in because they were underwhelming to me. I think this is one of the categories Hamilton might not win.
Ooh.
I think Shuffle Along will win this category.
Interesting.
I do. Being able to recreate the original costumes and then also convey the time period of the actors of Shuffle Along outside of their stage performances.
Interesting.
I think it's a hard thing to do, and I think that some of those dresses that they have Audra in are just stunning, and the number at the top of Act Two is just not only well choreographed, but the ensemble is in these glorious costumes. So I think that one might go to Shuffle Along.
Now they got to make room for a baby bump.
Right,
mazel to her.
Mazel tov. That baby's gonna be so gorgeous.
It's unfair.
That's just I'm
gorgeous
like
gorgeous and talented. It's.
And the baby's going to be so talented. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
You think Hamilton, right?
Yeah, Hamilton. I do.
Hamilton?
Yeah, the hip period costumes.
Best scenic design of a musical. S. Devlin and Finn Ross for American Psycho.
Ooh.
David Korins for Hamilton. Santo Laquasto for Shuffle Along. And David Rockwell for She Loves Me. Put your money down. Best scenic
strong
design.
Strong category.
Yeah,
very strong
gorgeous.
Category. And again, by the way, another category where Color Purple could have been nominated because that set is simple but beautiful. I mean, this category, strong. Shuffle Along, little surprised maybe that it got in just because the set is not its strongest part. It's kind of a bare bones set for the most part, but it's still beautiful. To me, this is all about She Loves Me. That set, that jewel box set that they have, when it opens, I gasped. It was so gorgeous. Hamilton, obviously, juggernaut, but the set is not one of its most impressive features. And American Psycho does very cool stuff with its set. But I think just the sheer beauty of the She Loves Me set is breathtaking. And I'll be very surprised if it doesn't win this category.
I would throw money behind American Psycho as well, just because the set was so inventive.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But She Loves Me is just gorgeous to look at.
Yeah.
It depends on what your aesthetic is, really.
Exactly.
Or how you're qualifying. Go
exactly.
Ahead,
yeah. That's what my thoughts are. You know, how do you qualify best set? Is it creating a palette for the actors in the story to take place? Or is it an active element? You know, like American Psycho, I mean, it was so inventive and so new, you know, where the other ones were sort of get it out of the way for the story in a
Absolutely.
Way. You know? So, you know, it's tough to sort of which way does it go, you know?
And, you know, there is no criteria. Do you know what I mean? It's totally. Not like they tell the nominating committee, this is what you're looking for.
Sure. So something beautiful like She Loves Me is like, yeah, well, it's a gorgeous set. I mean, that's like, you know, why High Fidelity got nominated way back when, if you remember that.
Anna Louise S. Or
yeah, that was her. Yeah. That was her. Mm-hmm. I love that High Fidelity set, by the way.
The rotating.
Totally. Yeah, that's what I talked about. Yeah. I mean, like, so it was detailed, all those records, and, you know, like, it's that's pretty cool. Amazing. That's exciting, you know, when you see something like that.
I will say, just so we can, just so people have the real deal, S. Devlin and Finn Ross are both nominated for American Psycho set because the projections are included as part of their set design,
which are
amazing at times, and other times I'm kind of like, was that production necessary? I don't know. So, I mean, just if people are wondering where projections falls, it falls in that set category for them.
Uh-huh. Do you think there'll ever be a separate category for projections?
Well, they added it at the Drama Desk a few years ago. So maybe the Tonys will get on board, but I find that unlikely.
They're too busy taking away sound design awards.
Initiating the replacement category, taking it away the next year or the same year.
We'll talk about this a little bit later on at the end of the podcast, but that's very upsetting. I wonder why do they keep stripping these awards away because they need more airtime?
For the shows to...
I wonder if there's a little has to do another piece 20 of it there, magic number. And also how do you quantify certain things? You know, I think they don't know how do you qualify. You know, I think a lot of people don't, like, for instance, music director. You know, like, how do you rate that? Although, how do you rate orchestrations?
I was going to say things on here. You know, how do you rate them? They're really, like, for example, we're going to get to this in a second, but like best supporting actress, like, it's so vastly different. You have somebody like Jennifer Samard from Disaster, mm-hmm. who is so funny, and then you have somebody like Adrienne Warren from Shuffle. It's like, how do I qualify? I think it was George C. Scott who said the only way you can really give out an award, get five actors and give them all the same role to play with the same director, and he's like, and that's how you figure out who the best is. I don't know. It's very different. But anyway, so that's where projections are. That's a great point, Brian. And so maybe in a couple of years we'll see best projection design as part of the category. Mm-hmm. You said Drama Desk already has it, right?
Yep, they added it a few years ago.
Maybe.
Best performance by an actress in a featured role in a musical.
Boy, talk about...
What a wealth of riches. Here we go.
Geez.
Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple. Renee Elise Goldsberry, Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Jane Krakowski, She Loves Me. Jennifer Samar, Disaster, and Adrienne Warren for Shuffle Along. This is a wealth of riches.
How do you pick?
I could name you 10 other women who should have been nominated.
And there's a whole bunch of other people that got left off this list.
Both Waitress Girls.
Both Waitress Girls.
Both glorious. I mean, even Jennifer Hudson, who I know a lot of people didn't love, kind of surprised she didn't get a nomination.
Not as surprised as she was, apparently, based on her tweet.
I feel a little bad for her, because I don't want her to, like... She was so good, I want her to come back to Broadway. I don't want her to have a bad taste in her mouth about
it.
She
got an Oscar, it's okay.
She got an Oscar and some Grammys, and, you know, the American Idol win.
She's most pissed, though, she never got a Tony. I'm like, that's... like that. Right? That's a theater person. So who are we going to say? Kevin, who do you think?
Well, first of all, I just think it's great that, like, Jen Samard is nominated for Disaster. And, you know, and it's cool to see. I just like the diversity. I think it's just it's a nice, strong category. But you're right. So, I mean, you could have 10 people in this category. I think Renee is going to win it for Hamilton. I just think she's really beautiful and stunning. Yeah. And her work is just...
In the competitive categories, Hamilton to me is we're going to talk about best musical, obviously, in a little bit. But it is the best musical in terms of being the most well-rounded. But when you start to break it down into its components, in almost every category, I prefer some other show for that specific component, which is interesting.
Yeah.
This is not that category. Renee Elise Goldsberry is going to win, and she deserves it. She is phenomenal. Satisfied is probably the best song of the year. She's just stunning in that show.
She is something impressive and incredible. You know what? I am a huge fan of comedy. I think comedy is actually harder to do than drama sometimes.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Great expectations.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I am going to throw my support behind Jennifer Samard.
Dude,
110%. I have not laughed that hard in a theater for such a long time. Every time she came on, she brought the house down.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm so happy. I think if you are a student of musical theater and a student of comedy, I think they have put her clip of her doing her number on YouTube, because I think they live streamed it or something closing performance. Watch it. Okay. I think she was wonderful. I think she's amazing. I think Renee Elise Goldsberry is also phenomenal and amazing. If there was a tie between the two of them, I think that would be a perfect world. Not to say that these other women aren't wonderful,
sure.
But my God, Jennifer Samard, I could not stop laughing.
I mean, she was that show. She was made
disaster.
That show.
She really was disaster.
As star-studded as that cast was, with Broadway royalty.
Oh my God, everybody and their mother, yeah.
You go in being like, oh, Adam Pascal, oh, Rachel York, oh, and then you're like, Jen Samard.
Right. And you're
like,
who are you?
Ooh, okay.
And she walks away with the show.
Rocks it, yeah.
And she's so incredible. Yep. Please, please, please look her up. Best performance by an actor in a featured role in a musical. Mm-hmm. David Diggs for Hamilton, Brandon Victor Dixon for Shuffle Along, Christopher Fitzgerald for Waitress, Jonathan Groff for Hamilton, and Christopher Jackson for Hamilton. I know. Once again, a wealth of riches.
Three Hamiltons in one category?
Three Hamiltons.
$3. This is maybe the one category that I was actually upset about.
Oh, yeah?
I felt that this was the Tony nominating committee saying, we want Hamilton to break the record, so we're going to throw a lot of nominations its way.
Oh, interesting.
And I am a little offended by that.
Who got left out, do you think?
I think a lot of people. I think Paul Alexander Nolan from Bright Star got left out.
Boy, he's good.
I thought that either Gavin Creel or Nick Brash from She Loves Me got left out.
Nick Brett, yeah.
Either Brian Stokes Mitchell or Billy Porter from Shuffle Along. Yeah. I mean, this is another category where so many eligible people. John Groff really need a nomination.
I love you.
Did he really need a nomination for being totally. On stage for 3 minutes, like doing the same song twice?
I love you.
Like, I love John Groff. Like, John Groff, fine, entertaining, hilarious, whatever, but anybody could play that role and be funny. In fact, I liked Brian D'Arcy James in that.
Yeah.
But just to me, the thing is, I'm all for supporting Hamilton if it deserves it, but shouldn't we be supporting all theater and all of the good performances that are being given?
Spread it around a little bit.
And I feel like, I mean, Paul Alexander Nolan had me in tears.
I was rocked by him.
It was good.
And by the way, talk about someone who turns it out year after year. Dr. Zhivago last year was not great, but he was amazing in it.
He transforms himself.
Jesus Christ Superstar. I mean, hello. Like, all the time.
He's a Stratford Canadian.
He's the Laurie Metcalf of the... we were talking about Laurie Metcalf earlier. He's Laurie Metcalf of the musical theater.
Yeah.
I think I was very upset that he wasn't nominated, and other people as well, but... yeah, Chris Jackson and John Groff giving good performances, but I think that David Diggs would have been just fine and give those other two spots to somebody else. But I think David's going to win.
Okay.
Even though there are three Hamilton people, I think David is going to take the award.
If he was not there, if there was no Hamilton, in a world with no Hamilton, Christopher Fitzgerald for Waitress.
He's adorable.
Made me laugh so hard, and I loved his performance. Oh my gosh, here we go. Are you ready? Best performance by an actress in a leading role in a musical.
Stop. I can't.
Listen to this wealth of riches. Jesus. Oh, my God. Laura Benanti for She Loves Me. Carmen Cusack for Bright Star. Cynthia Erivo for The Color Purple. Jesse Mueller for Waitress. Philippa Sue for Hamilton. Holy Mother of God. What a wealth of riches.
And no Audra McDonald for Shuffle Along.
I know. A year so good, Audra can take a break.
We'll get you next year, Audra, but speechless.
I can't. I don't even know where to begin.
How do you compare? I feel like a little kid. How do you pick which one you want?
Because let's be honest, there are some years where there's like one or two that you're like, oh yeah, they deserve it. And sometimes there's three or four and you're like, oh, that's nice.
Well, like last year with Kristen and Kelly and maybe even Cheetah a little bit. And then it's kind of like, oh, Leanne Cope and Beth Malone.
Oh, yeah.
You're nominated too.
It was nice.
You're good, but you're nominated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These, literally in any other year, any of these 5/6 women, if you include Audra,
roll the dice. Like, roll the dice.
Right. It's amazing. I don't even know where. I haven't. I know who's going to win. I went for Cynthia Erivo on The Color Purple.
100%.
It's going to be her. I have to say, though, Carmen Cusack and Bright Star, you guys. Like, when we interviewed Walter and he was like, I picked her. She's a star. She's not a name, but I still wanted her to be the lead. And because she's, and she, I mean, I was completely rocked by her performance in that show.
I was in tears.
How do you compare?
Yeah. Like, I agree with you. To me, my top two choices are Cynthia and Carmen. In fact, prior to me seeing Bright Star, you know, when you already know what shows are going to be opening, even if they haven't opened yet, I was like, well, the nominees are going to be Audra and Laura and Jesse and Philippa and Cynthia, and that's going to be the nominees. And then I saw Bright Star and I was like, hold up, just kidding. Yeah. This woman is a star, a bright star, if you will.
Thank you.
And both bright, I mean, like both new, relatively new to the Broadway community. You know,
both of them
Cynthia
Broadway
and her, yeah.
Which
so
is
that's
insane
special
to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is another category where it could have gone. Audra could have been nominated. Philippa could have been left out.
Yeah.
Because let's be real, Eliza's not a leading role. Let's be honest. But she is good in the show. I think Audra was better. But again, that's comparison. And I think the Tony nominating committee did want to give Hamilton that record.
Yeah. And Jesse Mueller, just not for nothing.
Oh my God.
She'd be my third choice.
So special.
When she sings She Used to Be Mine in Act Two, you feel every word of that song. Mm-hmm. God, and Laura Benanti, I'll tell you what. Like, she can do comedy. She can do romance. She can do drama. She is beautiful in that show. Absolutely gorgeous. But Cynthia Erivo is otherworldly. She gets standing ovations every night for I'm Here.
Mm-hmm.
And did you guys see the YouTube video of the Prince tribute that they did after Prince passed away?
I have not seen it. No.
They sang Purple Rain at one of their curtain calls. Just look it up. It is insane. And then they just, for Jennifer Hudson leaving, they also did the Dionne Warwick song.
Well, that's what Friends are
for? That's what Friends are for.
Yeah.
And they all sang that to, I mean, her voice is not human. It's insane. So
she is incredible. This is a great year.
God, what a good year.
year of riches. Best performance by an actor in a leading role in a musical. Alex Brightman, School of Rock.
Good for him.
Danny Burstein, Fiddler on the Roof. Zachary Levi, She Loves Me. Lin-Manuel Miranda, Hamilton. And Leslie Odom Jr. for Hamilton.
Good category.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm a little torn because I understand that there are a lot of Hamilton fans out there who want to see either Leslie Odom Jr. or Lin-Manuel Miranda win. I think Lin's going to win some Tonys this year. I don't know that he needs the one for leading actor because I think he's going to have a few other ones.
Yes, I agree.
Leslie, I think, gives a great performance. I've seen him in a lot of other things, though, and I actually think that I've seen him give better performances than this one. And so I'm comparing him to himself, which is sort of unfair. The other three nominees actually are stronger for me. I think Alex Brightman, what he does in School of Rock, granted he only does it 6 nights a week now instead of 8, but it really is just incredible. I went in being like, I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah.
And his first scene, I was kind of like, oh, you're so unlikable. But that's the character, I guess.
Yeah.
And he really wins you over by the end. Danny Burstein, bless his heart. He has been...
he's the Susan Lucci?
He's the Susan Lucci. The Kelly O'Hara, if you will, of the Tony Awards.
And yet he's such a chameleon. Everything he does is brilliant.
And his Tevye is wonderful. It's wonderful. And then Zach Levi, for me, was the backbone of She Loves Me. I thought he was so charming. You know, not a lot of people know that he does stage stuff. People know him from Chuck on TV or whatever. He was in First Date, the musical, a few years ago, which he was wonderful in. The show, again, had problems, but he was wonderful. And then in She Loves Me, he is wonderful.
Mm.
So to me, if I were voting with my heart, I think I would give it to Zach Levi.
Uh-huh.
But I think overall, whole-rounded best performance, God, I would almost give it a tie between Danny and Alex. I think they're both so... That's a tough category. I don't know. But I think Leslie Odom Jr. is going to win.
I think he's going to take it.
I am a Hamilton fan, and I think it's going to be Leslie Odom Jr.
Yeah, I think it's going to be him. If he wasn't nominated, I think Zachary Levi channeled Jimmy Stewart. I think he channeled those 1930s movies so beautifully without winking at the piece. And I think that's very tough.
I'm excited to see him do more.
Me too.
Musical theater.
I think he's got a whole world.
I think it's nice to have a nice leading man like that.
By the way, if both both Leslie and Lin-Manuel were not nominated, if it were only one of the two of them, I would say it's a lock.
Yeah.
You know, like Leslie would definitely win if Lin weren't nominated.
Yeah.
The only way he doesn't win this award is if they split votes, which is, I think, possible.
Oh, yeah.
So, but because they're both nominated, I still think Leslie will win, but.
Best original score. music and or lyrics written for the theater. Ah, Bright Stars, Steve Martin, Edie Brickell. Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda. School of Rock, the musical, Andrew Lloyd Webber, Glenn Slater. Waitress, Sarah Bareilles. Who's going to get that best score?
All of them. Four-way tie.
All of them. I think we're all...
I wish.
I think we all know it's going to go to Hamilton.
Yeah. It is. It's going and to it go to really Hamilton. Is amazing.
Yeah.
However, congratulations to these... I mean, these other scores are I so hope they inventive. All,
I mean, you know...
Original, Bright Star is an original musical. Like, I mean, the folk music so that they created was so special. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Sarah Bareilles, for being a pop writer who writes theatrically.
Oh my God.
There's no hubris there where it's like, oh, I can write any. No, she's a theatrical storytelling writer.
Oh my God.
And that's special.
It's so good. I will tell you, have you guys listened to the Inside Waitress album, Sarah
yes.
Bareilles' album? I have not stopped listening to it for the last week and a half. To me, actually, as much as I love Bright Star and I love the score, I know that some people have issues with some of the lyrics, which I don't have as much issue with. Actually, yeah. And Hamilton, everyone, of course, loves. Again, I think most of the score, phenomenal. I think there are some songs that are kind of like, Hurricane, why are you here?
Oh, my God.
But Waitress, I think from start to finish, is actually the best score.
Interesting.
I think as a unit, it works together. The lyrics are beautiful. The music is stunning. And it's theatrical, like you said. You know, you don't expect Sarah Bareilles to be able to write something like that, and it's just phenomenal, with the exception of Love You Like a Table, which is a weird song. But,
Functional.
Like a functional. I love you like a functional table. That's the revival.
That's
yeah. The reprise, if you will.
I just hope that Steve Martin, Edie Brickell, and Sarah Bareilles, I hope you all come back.
Oh, word.
Please exactly. Come back.
Yeah.
Because we love what you did.
Love it.
Our validation is the only one that matters.
And by the way, even School of Rock, like Andrew Lloyd Webber, very different for Andrew Lloyd Webber. Some of that music is very good.
Yeah.
It was a good score.
Some of that music is very good. So props this year. God, what a strong year. I don't keep saying that. But...
Well, you know who was it? It was they just did a panel. I think it was Jen Tepper, Peter Felicia, and Scott Miller did one at Penn State. And the topic was, are we living in a new golden age? Is this the next golden age of musical theater? I don't know if we are, but if we are, this is going to be the year that kicks it off.
Sure. I actually had an argument with a friend about this the other day.
Oh, good.
Because there was an article in... that was like, we're in the new golden age of theater. It wasn't just musical theater, it was just theater in general.
Yeah.
And basically all of the items on the list had to do with Hamilton. And I was like, that's not a new golden age of theater. That's you like Hamilton.
Truth. But I do think like when Rents and Hairs and the Hamiltons come along, it puts a fire, I think, in the community.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that effect it has.
Totally. Yeah.
But you're right how the emphasis does always become about like the one show.
And the idea though is if it's a golden age, there must be more than just one thing that's really wonderful.
Exactly.
And that was because I don't think we had that with Rent. Rent was wonderful, and there was really nothing that came after Rent in the late 90s that was as amazing. I mean, maybe like every year.
Well, look, the best musicals for the next few years were Fosse and
Contact.
Like
Contact came in, yeah.
So you're not talking about these like groundbreaking musicals.
This is one really good show, and I think what we can use though for justification is even if Hamilton was not here. Even if there was no such thing as Hamilton.
Still be a strong air.
Waitress. Bright Star. Best book of a musical. Steve Martin for Bright Star. Lin-Manuel Miranda for Hamilton. Julian Fellows for School of Rock, the musical. George C. Wolfe for Shuffle Along. And if we were listening to the New York Times, there would be no such thing as a best book of a musical because nobody knows what the hell that is, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, didn't you read that article?
No, I didn't.
We'll post it on our group.
Troublesome that Charles Isherwood, who's a critic for the New York Times, does not know what a book of a musical is.
How dare you?
That being said, I don't disagree with the original Drama Desk decision to strike the book category this year because I thought every book this year was terrible.
Really?
Really, I did. Genuinely, including Hamilton's. I thought that most of the books this year were either bad dialogue or the ones that have good dialogue, like, well, Hamilton doesn't have a lot of dialogue, but obviously it's the structure of the show.
Right.
A little unfocused at times. Or tries to stuff too much in or focuses on the wrong things. To me, I would even argue that School of Rock was maybe the most well-written book, but that's only because it was a copy of the movie. It was just the movie's screenplay. Yeah, so this is a conversation that I like to have with my friends all the time about what makes a good book. And to me, I've always been of the opinion that a good book is the thing that services the show that it is in. You can't compare it to other books. You have to compare it to its own show.
Mm.
And I know a lot of people had problems with the Bright Star book because it was either cheesy or you saw the twist coming a mile away or whatever. I don't care. To me, that of these four nominees, that's the one that should win.
I am with. I very rarely sit in the theater and think, "This is a good book." Yeah. I had that thought more than once during that performance.
I was amazed. Yeah.
And isn't it a completely original musical?
Yeah.
So they created
and it knew what it was. It knew that. Listen, it's an old, charming, folksy tale. It knew that you knew that.
Right.
Listen, this is Steve Martin. This is Walter Bobby. These are smart people. I think they knew what they were doing.
Right.
And that was the feeling that they were trying to get. You know what? I was surprised to not get a nomination because I thought the dialogue was fantastic. Oh, no. I think American Psycho.
Oh wow.
I thought the dialogue was hysterical and I thought it really captured the flavor of the book. What were you going to say?
I'm surprised that Disaster didn't get a nomination here.
Oh, interesting.
Only because of the Seth Rudetsky Jack aspect. Not that I thought that their book was amazing. But in a year of pretty weak books overall,
that was,
you know, it's a little bit like, oh, hey, it's a comedy. It's different than everything else that's on Broadway. And we love you guys. Yeah. Like, we love you so much. So, like, we're going to give you a Tony nomination, kind of like a title of show nomination type of situation. Mm-hmm. So a little surprised they didn't get a nomination. But again, not super impressed with most of the books this year. But that being said.
What were you going to say, Kevin? Yeah. Oh, so sorry.
Well, I was just surprised that Jesse Nelson for Waitress, you know.
She was one
of the only shows that was nominated. The only Broadway show was nominated for a Drama Desk for book.
So Drama Desk said, we're not going to nominate books. And then there was an outcry and people, and then they said, okay, we're going to nominate three. Right.
Yes.
And what were the three? Anyone remember?
First Daughter Suite, I think, was one of them.
Oh, First Daughter
Suite. And I believe Hansen maybe was.
Oh, because they and also then, did off Broadway. Okay, cool. Nice.
Yeah. But here's the thing about that. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. Waitress was one of my two least favorite books of the year. As much as I love the show, and this is what I was getting at before. Yeah. I loved Waitress, but I love the score of Waitress, I should say. To me, the book was wildly problematic because that movie, I love that movie, and it's dark. It's about abuse and coping. Mm. And they don't really do that much with that in the show. It's very rom-com style.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen it kind of explore that other stuff.
That tone,
It was a little surface for me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't love that book. What I was going to say a second ago was, did you guys read the article New York Times puts out every year? Isherwood and Brantley do their who should win, who will win list, and who should be nominated. Both of them selected as the book that should have been nominated, On Your Feet, which I find fascinating. Because that book, great, I thought, in my opinion. I thought it was a little messy, a little, like, all over the place in terms of, like, oh, now you're in the bus crash. Oh, but now we're in the hospital. It was sort of a little abrupt.
That's interesting to me. Yes. Best revival of a musical. Our nominees this year are The Color Purple, Fiddler on the Roof, She Loves Me, and Spring Awakening. What's going to win Best Revival? I think Spring Awakening should win, but it's closed, and I think then they're going to send it over to Color Purple.
I think you're exactly right.
I think it should be a two-way tie between Color Purple and She Loves Me.
Mm.
Because I think that She Loves Me is a better show, which I know you can't really judge for the revival. But I also thought it was, like you said before, Scott Ellis captures it perfectly.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I wish Spring Awakening had lasted longer and more of an audience.
Me
because
too.
It was so special. Mm-hmm. But Color Purple with the reinvention, I think that's it.
Awesome. Best musical.
Drum roll.
Bright Star, Hamilton, School of Rock the Musical, Shuffle Along, Waitress.
Amazing Grace. I'm kidding.
Amazing Grace. Sorry. Rob, we hardly knew you at the Cherry Lane.
Can you talk about how exciting it is that five nominees got in?
Such a good year. They went from four to five. This only happened maybe two or three other times in the history of the musical, in the Tony Awards. And this year deserves
it. I thought this was the first time.
No, I think it's happened two other times. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I will do my fact checking.
Someone's speaking out loud the years.
Someone's
right now.
Speaking
someone's
to us
someone
right
like
now.
Listening I right now was like, it's 1964, you idiots.
Ironically, it's Tommy Kail and Eva Bonhova who are listening.
Right. Yep.
While the wolf is in the kitchen making snacks for everybody. I mean, I think we all know what's gonna
of course.
But let's play this game. If Hamilton was not here this year, what would be the winner?
You could make an argument for any one of them because Hamilton will win. And I think Hamilton deserves to win this category, by the way. This is one of the categories it deserves to win.
Indeed.
It is the best musical on the
whole. Hands down.
For me, I loved Bright Star so much. I think my heart says Bright Star, but Shuffle Along is a juggernaut as well in various respects. So I don't know. I'd guess Shuffle Along probably would win if Hamilton weren't there, but God, I would love to see Bright Star win.
Very cool. How about you, Kev?
Well, it depends on how, like, my personal opinion, I'm in the Bright Star camp. I thought that was a really beautiful show. I think what will win, or if there was no Hamilton, the way that producers work and the politics work, I almost would say either a Waitress or School of Rock, because School of Rock is very
it's horrible.
It's a recognizable name.
Yeah.
And it's still going. I mean, they're still doing good business, and they're
great.
Yeah, but Hamilton,
right? Yeah, I mean, if there ever were an award that was the most predictable award in Tony history,
This is it. If not Hamilton, you know what I would go with? Would go with Waitress. I really like Waitress.
No, I'm with you.
That's where I would send
you.
It. Yeah. So that's it. The Tonys are going to be on this Sunday, June 12th, on CBS. Which is going to be very, very exciting. So everybody take a look
at
that. And tweet us, Facebook us. Let us know what you think about some of these categories, especially the categories that don't exist anymore. Let us know if we've left anything off this list.
And if maybe you have a category that you think should be included.
Yeah, absolutely. Like best performance by a pet. I think that should have been on there.
Fantastic. Come on, Wolf.
Come on, Wolf.
Come that through.
Wolf. But I am very excited because next year that Wolf is doing a revival of Kiss Me, Kate. Which we're very excited
about. Who is
he
playing?
He's playing Fred.
Bianca?
He's playing Fred.
I would love to see him do Always True in My Fashion.
Jennifer Samard's going to be doing that.
Amazing.
It's a great ensemble. And then Audra and Will's baby is going to be in it as well. It's going to be Gangster Number One. We're hoping they have twins so we can get casting for Gangster Number Two there as well. Perfect. It's going to be a great production directed by Even Van Hove.
Set by
Jan Verschoeven.
Oh, God.
There's a no set. It's a white. Anything else you need? A wolf and a chalkboard. Are you sure this is how Arthur Miller... Yes, this is how he wanted it. Just a wolf and a chalkboard. And Audra's a baby. Join us next week when our guest, actress Joan Copeland, discusses being a victim of the Red Scare, working with Katharine Hepburn, and what it was like being sister to Arthur Miller.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.